Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. We are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What is the truth that is in the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament? What is the plan of God? How do we know what it is? Where do we find it? Do we go to heaven to look for it? Boy, just think of everything that, the effort that men would do to say, if someone said, well, we're going to go to heaven and we're going to find out the truth. Why, they would make every effort, spend all kinds of money. But do you think they would open their Bibles to look at it and believe it? Well, it couldn't be in the Bible. That's just legend. That's just myth. Really? How do you know? So you need to prove the Bible is true because the truth of God and the truth of why you were born and His plan and how you fit into it is in the Bible because He made and created all of us. Now, the first man, Adam, you believe in that myth? No, it's not a myth. It was really so. Because if there wasn't an Adam and if there wasn't an Eve, you wouldn't be here. Now, we saw that God has done a fantastic thing. Of none of the rest of the creation of God did He personally form and make any of it. He commanded, and it was so. He said, and it was so. He commanded it to be brought forth, and it brought forth. But only man. Because God is love, God is truth, God is righteousness, He has a plan for us. And His plan is to have us be born into His family, a spiritual family. You ever heard of that before? Maybe not. We've read some of the things that people have written in the religions and philosophies of men, which we posted online. You can download. But what is the truth of the Bible? What does the Bible tell us? Why we're here, where we're going, what we're going to do? Amazingly, it's all in the Bible. See, but you have to come to God and the Bible on God's terms. God is not going to come to you and say, Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, I'm God. Would you please, please listen to me? No, He's not going to do that. You have to come to God. You have to seek Him. You have to believe His word. And the Bible is the word of God, and it is true, and everything is God-breathed. That's why you need this Bible, the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version that is the most accurate translation in English for the average person. So you can understand the will and purpose of God. We have commentaries in there. When was it written? Who was it written by? How was it preserved? How do we know it's the truth of God? All of that is there. And if you really want to know the truth, you have to do like the Apostle Paul said, prove all things. Now that means you have to get it out, look at it, examine it, prove it, and what you see is true and provable, you hold fast to that. And the more truth that you learn, the more that you will learn. The more that you understand, the more that you will continue to understand. And that's called in the New Testament growing in grace and knowledge. See, because God is eternal, He lived forever. And His mind is the one that inspired the plan of God. And His mind is the one that inspired the Word of God. And we have in this Bible everything that is essential for knowledge and salvation and to fulfill the plan of God in your life, in my life, in the life of all of those who will come to God. So we come to God His way. With His laws, His truth, His commandments, we believe in Him, we have faith in Him, and that faith and belief demands action. And that action will result in a multiplicity of truth and love and knowledge and understanding and a great meaning, the most fantastic purpose as to why you were born. Let's see where it gives a more detailed account of how God made man. Genesis 2 and verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, if you want to know the tremendous intricacy of the human body, get a Gray's Anatomy and look at all of the systems that are in the body. And all of it is designed for one thing, that you live and move and think and speak and have consciousness and can love and can procreate, can create, can build, because God put it in you to do so. Now we're going to see, we can use this for good or we can use it for evil. But we're going to focus on what is the plan of God and the purpose of life. When he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living being. Now the word there is nephesh, which in most translations is soul. But that is not an immortal soul. Because God says in Ezekiel 18, all souls are mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. And the soul, as we're going to see, is one part of the three parts of what a human being is. And then God put him in the Garden of Eden, commanded the man, because you see, all human beings are to follow God. God is creator, we're the created. God has given his laws and his commandments. He's given us duties, he's given us responsibilities, he has made us responsible, he has made us conscious thinking beings, so we can be responsible. So we can do the will of God. Now God also made Adam with a language. And after God got done showing Adam all the animals and things that he created, and Adam named every one of them, God said, Adam, there's nothing here for you. There's male and female of this, male and female of that, male and female of that, but there is no one for you. So God caused a deep sleep to come upon the man, took one of his ribs, and built a woman, and brought her to the man. Now, hey, Adam knew exactly what this was because God told him what it was going to be. Because you see, in giving dominion of the earth, God also told Adam and Eve, multiply and replenish the earth. God designed male and female for marriage and procreation so that it would be a loving, a good, a wonderful, and fantastic experience in bringing forth children, assisting God in his creation. So God made Eve. What a wonderful thing that was. What a wonderful thing that every woman really is, that really is a direct partner with God in reproducing the human race. If we only understood that, we wouldn't have the divorce, we wouldn't have the remarriage, we wouldn't have the perversion, we wouldn't have child abuse and child killing and child sacrifice. We wouldn't have any of those things. But no, you see, man went astray. And we'll see why. When God brought Eve to Adam and they were both naked, here's what Adam said. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He knew where she came from. What a tremendous thing. No sin. They weren't eternal, they were physical, subject to death. God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there and told them he could eat of every tree of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We've already covered that. You know which one they ate. Now, verse 23, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. No way you're going to get away from that. That's just the way that God made it. Men have tried to change it through operations and denial and things like this, but you are what you are from the instant that you were conceived. All the rest is a process of growth, as we will see. Now notice verse 24. This would solve so many problems and crimes and perversions, wouldn't it, if we would just follow this. Right from the beginning, Adam knew this. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. You build a life together. You see, and a woman was created to be a sustainer standing beside her husband, and they together were to build life, create life through love and procreation. And the strongest drive that human beings have sexually is to reproduce. But God also made it an experience of love and fun and excitement and exhilaration if it's done right in marriage. Now today we're so far from it that, you know, we're almost in a point of helplessness of trying to resolve the problem. But it's really true. Paul said, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman her own husband. There you go. That's how to solve it. Well, God put them in the Garden of Eden, and they chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and decide for themselves what was right and wrong, good and evil. Now, that's God's prerogative. So that's the only way they became like God. Yes, they were made in the image of God, in the likeness of God, and for a purpose, as we will see, to become a son or daughter of God and be immortal and live forever. But first, you have to, in your life, show that you love God, keep his commandments, live his way, receive his spirit before you can begin to fulfill God's plan in your life. Now, Adam and Eve, in doing that, they rejected the true God. They accepted Satan, the devil, as their God. And that's why, as we started out with the beginning of this series on why were you born, he's the God of this world. And ever since Adam and Eve, we all have a human nature that is given to evil, a mixture of good and evil. And we do what is right in our own eyes, which leads to death. And we do that which is sin, and we think that it is right. And we have our own ideas of purpose in life and where we're going and what we're doing, and yet you reject the Bible and reject God and you don't understand it. Now, God has set before everyone. Let's come here to Deuteronomy 30 because this is important for us to review and understand. God made us loving creatures. To love God, to receive his love, to love our wives, to love our husbands, to love our children. And that's the first and paramount important factor in the way that God wants our lives to be. Now, there are many aspects to the love of God, as we have covered. But also, he has made us free moral agents. He has not made us robots or automatons. Now, human beings right now are trying to work ways where they can add animal genes to human genes to make superhuman beings. That's what they are trying to do right now. That's another subject. We won't get off on that, but just keep that in mind and what men are doing. All right, here is what God says. Here is what is set before every human being, whether they know God or don't know God, whether they have the Word of God or don't have the Word of God. And some people and some civilizations come across and know that there are certain laws that work and certain breaking of certain laws don't work and cause problems and crime and sickness and disease. But you see, human beings in rejecting God and going their own way have forgotten the very primary reason why they have free moral agency. Most have free moral agency thinking, well, we can rebel against God like Adam and Eve, and yet we want to come to God and we can still have our blessings. Listen, here's a profound truth you need to know. You cannot live in sin and receive the blessings of God. Now, you may for a while, living in sin, receive some of the benefits that Satan gives. But remember, with every benefit that you think is apparent in Satan's way, there's a day of judgment coming, and there is a disillusionment that is going to take hold. And that's why life comes apart. And that's why people don't know where they're going or what they are doing, because they don't know God, they don't know the plan of God, and they are not making the right choices, you see. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to make the right choices? Here's what God says that he has done. This is everyone's life. He says, "Behold, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil." That's what we see in the world. Is that not correct? Yes, indeed. The more you reject God, the more evil you get into. The more you begin to follow God and keep his commandments and go his way, the less that there is evil in your life. That's why some people, not even converted, have values and principles. But where do those values and principles come from? From the Word of God. Because the laws and commandments of God are always active, always working. Those who follow them will be blessed. Those who don't will be cursed. God doesn't have to come down and curse you and say, "Oh, you dirty thing, I'm going to curse you." No. Just like the law of gravity. Works automatic. You sin, there's a penalty. Like that. Penalty can be physical, mental, or emotional. And if you're dealing in sex, it's all three. If you're dealing with worshiping Satan the devil, it also is at least two of them. Let's see what he says here. Here's what God wants. Yeah, but that's in the Old Testament. I know. Before I read this, let me tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, "If you love me," do you love God? Do you love Jesus? "If you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments." Now, when you understand that Jesus was the Lord God of the Old Covenant, the one who gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, the one who created Adam and Eve, all of his commandments, you see. Oh, well, there's the Old and New Testament. We'll get into that later. Always remember, the laws of God in the New Testament are magnified and made spiritual. They are not done away. Now let's read on here. "In that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it." Do you want the blessings of God or the cursings of God? They happen both automatically. Do you love God first? That's the first thing that God commands. Jesus said when scribe came to him and said, "Master, Master, what is the great commandment in the law?" And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength." This is the first commandment. That's New Testament doctrine right out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. And then he said, the second one is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And on these two, now I want you to listen and pay attention. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Now that's the teaching of Jesus. That's why Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And he also told that to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. See? So when you come to understand it, don't get in your mind Old Testament, New Testament. The New Testament is better than the Old Testament. Paul told Timothy that you had the Holy Writings, the Old Testament, which are able to lead you to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as I read this, I want you to think about your life, what you do, what you think, what you believe, where you're going, what you think God's plan is, because we're going to tell you what God's plan is. We'll bring out the scriptures and show you. It's more awesome and amazing than you have ever thought. If your heart turn away so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce to you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days on the land where you pass over Jordan to possess it. Did that happen? Were the 10 tribes exiled? Yes, indeed. Were the Jews exiled? Yes, twice. Once wasn't enough, twice. So the next time you go out on a beautiful night, look at a wonderful sunset, or you go out and you look at all the stars and the moon and everything, and you see the heavens and you see everything that there is, and you think, oh, Lord God, you created all of this. No, for sure, that is your witness. The earth you are standing on and the heavens above that you look at are God's perpetual day and night, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second witness to every man, woman, and child that, right here, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life so that both you and your seed may live. There it is. There are the choices. Adam and Eve failed when they did. The first prophecy of the Messiah was given because it was said of Jesus that he was slain from the foundation of the world to be that sacrifice for the sins of all mankind whom he created, beginning with Adam and Eve. Now notice how he ends this section of Scripture. Verse 20. That you may love the Lord your God and obey his voice and may cleave to him. For he is your life and length of days, so that you may dwell on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them, and every nation that's on the face of the earth. Now, isn't this saying exactly the same thing that the Apostle Paul told the philosophers, the Stoics, and the Epicureans? For in him we live and move and have our being. Physically. But God has a great plan spiritually. And he wants us to understand this plan. And he wants us to search for it as looking for gold and silver. It's all right here in the Word of God. But we're going to learn next time it is spiritually understood. It's not like a textbook that you can sit down and read. That's why we have the 14 rules of Bible study. You need to know how to study your Bible, how to put the scriptures together, because it says there's a little here, there's a little there, a precept, another precept, precept upon precept, a line here, a line there, line upon line, to put it all together. And the way that you start putting it together is, number one, seeking God, number two, repenting of your sins, number three, beginning to obey God, and as we have covered so many times, begin keeping the Sabbath right in your home. There's no political pressure there. There is no peer pressure upon you. There is no emotional pull that you have to walk down an aisle and give your heart to the Lord. Shake the hand of the preacher. Between you and God through his word and scripture, and his spirit will be with you to open your mind, to open your understanding. Because what we're going to cover here now will be spiritually understood. And the thing that you need to realize and that is missing so much is that God, through the power of procreation with mother and father, is recreating himself. That's why you are made in the image of God. That's why you have the abilities that you do. That's why love becomes the most important thing, not only in your life and family, but reaching up to God, from God the Father and Jesus Christ to you, and through the power of the Holy Spirit to make all of that happen. That's why We need to look into the Word of God to understand what His plan is. Now, I've mentioned many things here on Church at Home. Now, we have over 50 articles you can download. Let me suggest you download Who and What is a True Christian? That's very important, because there are a lot of people who believe they're true Christians. But are there counterfeit Christians out there? Is there another gospel out there? Have you believed a perverted gospel, as Paul said? What is it that you have come to understand as Christianity? Well, you do like you should do with everything. You check the Scriptures, search the Scriptures daily, prove that which is good and hold fast to it, and then grow in grace and knowledge, and seek after God. He promises He will answer. Pray to Him. He promises He will hear. Walk in His way. He promises He will bless. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.